Hello one and all, and welcome to Inspiration Sounds. I'm Butsamudra Knox, and I'm glad you're able to join me for episode 16 and for more stories from the heart of the world. I came across something today, and I wanted to read it to you. It's entitled A Smile. A smile costs nothing, but gives so much. It enriches those who receive without making poorer those who give. It takes but a moment, but the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None is so rich or mighty that he cannot get along without it, and none is so poor that he cannot be made rich by it. A smile creates happiness in the home, fosters goodwill in business, and is the countersign of friendship. It brings rest to the weary, cheer to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, and it is nature's best antidote for trouble. Yet it cannot be bought, begged, borrowed, or stolen, for it is something that is of no value to anyone until it is given away. Some people are too tired to give you a smile. Give them one of yours, as none needs a smile so much as they who have no more to give. And so it is with a smile that we present the stories for today's episode. The philosopher is illumined by the taxi driver. Written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Butsamudra Knox. A philosopher who taught at a prestigious university came out of his house hurriedly and was shouting at the top of his lungs, "Taxi! Taxi! 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 Taxi!" The taxi came over very quickly to him, and the philosopher jumped inside. "Hurry up! Hurry up!" screamed the philosopher to the taxi driver. "Drive as fast as you can!" The taxi driver started driving as fast as possible. After about 20 minutes, the philosopher said to him, "Am I reaching my destination?" The taxi driver said, "What destination? Did you tell me? I'm just driving as fast as I can possibly go." The philosopher screamed, "It is not your duty to ask me where I want to go." "Well, look, if it's my duty to ask you, well, then it's also your duty to tell me, isn't it?" replied the taxi driver. "You should have told me your destination. It is your mistake equally." "Look here, I am a great philosopher."
"Yeah, you're a great philosopher," replied the taxi driver. "But you also live in this world. God wants me to bring you from the moon world to this world. God wants me to teach you to live in this world and to behave like a human being."
The philosopher immediately replied, "I have been a philosopher for so many years, but never have I come across such wisdom. Will you be my guru?" The taxi driver said,
"Yeah, I'll be your guru, but only if you will try to live the life of a practical person. I will tell you to get up at 7 in the morning to be on time for your class. Then when you hire a taxi, you must always tell the driver where to take you. I'm giving you another piece of advice. Never hurry. When you hurry, you miss everything and then you lose everything."
The philosopher said, "I am touching your feet." After a short time, the philosopher's students were so surprised that the philosopher was always coming on time and that he himself was practicing what he was teaching them. Before, they were seeing that he was saying the right thing, but setting a poor example. After accepting the taxi driver as his guru, the philosopher put his own philosophy into practice. Nobody knows who can instruct whom and from whom we can receive a lesson. We must live a practical life, otherwise people will feel that we are worse than useless. In this way, the philosopher got the golden opportunity to learn from the taxi driver. The Favourite Son Inherits a Crucifix. Written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Butsamudra Knox. An old father was very, very kind. He had 4 sons. Before leaving the body, he wanted to show all his loving kindness to his sons. to one son, he gave a house. When the father would die, that son would inherit the house. To another son, he gave lots of money. To the third son, the father gave property. Finally, to his fourth child, he said, "Son, I love you the most. I am giving you a crucifix." A short time later, the father died. After his father's death, the fourth son said, "What is this? One of my brothers got the big house. One got money and one got property. Father is so bad. He told me that he loves me the most, and that is why he gave me a crucifix. What is this? A cruel joke? Father is terrible. I am not going to his funeral. He has really fooled me. He liked me the most, so he gave me a silly crucifix. Yet to each of my brothers he has given something so valuable." The fourth son did not even go to his father's funeral. Everyone was unhappy that the son was so ungrateful. He only said over and over, "My father is so mean and so unjust." For 2 weeks, the son's anger was increasing and increasing day by day. He said, "Such a bad father I had. He made fun of me right before he died. I will never even think of him." The son became more and more furious. He decided to throw the crucifix away. "I will have absolutely nothing to do with this crucifix. I hate my father." The son took the crucifix and threw it very hard against the ground. The crucifix broke into many pieces. Immediately, shining jewels and most expensive stones fell out. They had been hidden inside the crucifix. These jewels and stones were far more valuable than the money, the house, and the property that the other brothers inherited. With these jewels, the son was able to buy many expensive things. The fourth son finally learned to have faith in his father. Before, he was telling the whole world that his dying father was playing a cruel joke on him. But the son learned that his father did not lie. His father really claimed him as his nearest and dearest son. The Clever Poet and the Wise Poet, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox. In a particular region, there were two noteworthy poets. One was extremely clever and popular. His poems were very witty and amusing. The other one had much more depth, but his poems were not widely known. Once it happened that the local zamindar wanted to honour all the poets, and so he said that they should come to his palace on a particular day and read their poems. The serious poet said, "So many poets will join this competition. I know that my clever poet friend has been flattering the zamindar constantly of late. Naturally, the zamindar will make him stand first, so it is useless for me to go." The competition took place. Many poets came, and as the serious poet had predicted, the clever poet won. He was showered with tremendous adulation and lots of material riches. Soon afterwards, the clever poet visited the serious one. He said, "Did you hear that I have won a huge sum of money in front of so many other poets? The zamindar appreciated and admired my poems the most. I am now the most revered poet of the land." The serious poet felt sorry, but not because he had not joined the competition. He felt sorry because he knew that the clever poet's poems were not at all that good. It was only by flattering and flattering the zamindar that he had won first place in the competition. "I have to find a trick to make this boastful fellow learn some humility," he said to himself. After the clever poet had finally finished bragging, the serious one said to him, "I will recognize your talent only if you get appreciation from a particular zamindar." The clever poet said, "Definitely.
Just tell me his name and I will go and read my poems to him. I am sure he will be deeply impressed by my command of language, my striking images, my use of meter, and so on. I may even be inspired to write a special poem just for him. The serious poet continued, I am telling you, if he says that you are an excellent poet, only then will I feel that you are really superlative. He is the only one whose opinion I value. He is a great person, and he is very well educated. Full of confidence and self-assurance, the clever poet went to the zamindar that the serious poet had mentioned. This zamindar agreed to listen to a selection of his poems. So the clever poet started to read them out in a ringing voice. Now and then he glanced at the zamindar to get a little appreciation. On and on he went, until he had read out 30 poems. But still the zamindar did not offer any appreciation. Then at one point, the poet got a faint smile. He said to himself, I have read out so many poems, and all I have received in return is a faint, fleeting smile. What kind of man is this? He continued reading a little longer, but it was obvious that the zamindar was not impressed in the least. Finally, the poet stopped reading and said to the zamindar, That concludes the poems that I brought with me. I have read out so many for you. Will you not do anything for me? The zamindar reached for a piece of paper and wrote, 50 rupees. Then he gave the note to his secretary. The secretary handed the poet the sum that the zamindar had indicated. When the poet received the small sum of coins, he was badly insulted. The zamindar whom he had flattered had given him so much money, and this one had given him next to nothing. He said to the secretary, Well, can you not give me some more? After all, I have travelled quite a distance to come here and read my poems. The secretary answered, It is not up to me. I can only do what the zamindar wants me to do. So the clever poet went back to see the serious poet. He was filled with depression. He said to this other poet, I read out all my best poems for him. They're all so nice. But he gave me only 50 rupees in payment for my trouble. I tried so hard to get an iota of appreciation from him, but he did not even utter one word. The serious poet said, I told you. If you get appreciation from him, only will I admire you. Otherwise, I will not. I hold his appreciation in very high esteem. Humbly, the clever poet asked the serious one, Did you ever get appreciation from this particular zamindar?
No, replied the serious poet, truthfully.
Then why did you send me? Asked the clever poet.
The serious poet replied, I sent you because you think that you are the greatest poet of all.
The clever poet said, Now I do not feel that I am the greatest. Had I been really great, then surely I would have received some genuine appreciation and admiration from that zamindar. No, I have come to realize that I am only an ordinary poet, or even a budding poet. I was clever enough to fool our zamindar with my empty flattery, but flattery is not poetry. This zamindar has opened my eyes. According to him, my poems were worth only 50 rupees. I am grateful to you, my friend, for illumining me in this way. Then the serious poet embraced the clever poet and said, My friend, I beg you to forgive me. I have fooled you. There is a very simple reason why the zamindar to whom I sent you did not speak. He is mute. He cannot utter a word, so that is why he did not appreciate you. Instead of getting angry, the clever poet laughed and laughed. He said, You have really opened my eyes this time. You have defeated my cleverness with your wisdom. I promise that I will give up my silly flattery and try to write poetry that is beautiful, deep, and meaningful in every way. That concludes episode 16
of Inspiration Sounds. Next week, we have a special treat for all you dog lovers out there. Yes, Inspiration Sounds brings you a canine episode of Doggy Proportions. Shri Chinmoy, an animal and dog lover himself, has come up with some stories on this popular topic. Episode 17, the dog edition, is guaranteed to get your tail wagging. So join me then. It should be a lot of fun. I'm Butsamudra, hoping you have a great week.